Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, the book of Timothy was written by an older preacher named Paul to a younger preacher named Timothy. Paul's going to travel on and he wants Timothy, the pastor of the church at Ephesus. And he's telling him, here's some things you better remember. And we get to the fifth chapter. He's going to talk about managing relationships in the church. He reminds us in the third chapter that the theme of the book is that folks ought to know how to behave themselves at the house of God. In time we get to the fifth chapter, he's dealing with these relationships. I'm not going to have time to cover the chapter today, though I certainly would like to. Let me tell you how the chapter breaks down. In verses 1 and 2 today, we're going to look at our regard for one another. In verses 3 and 4 and verse 8 and verse 16, because we're going down through verse 16, we're going to look at our responsibility to widows. And then the last thing we're going to look at today as we look in these verses is that we're going to look at, in this chapter, we'll finally look in another study, verses 17 through 25, at our respect for church elders. And you may not understand it, but the respect you have for church elders and the responsibility that you have to widows and the regard that we have for one another are indeed related, and I think you will probably see that before we have finished the entire chapter. But when we think about the church, we remember that in the scriptures, there are several symbols used to describe the church. For instance, we're described as a holy nation, and that refers, of course, that we would be citizens of heaven, the church is supposed to be. It is referred to as a kingdom, and that has to do and is referring to the fact that as citizens of that kingdom, your folks know that if you have a kingdom, there's got to be a king. And if you have a kingdom, don't have a king, you don't really have a kingdom. So as citizens of the kingdom, we seek to honor the king. It talks in the scripture about us being the priesthood of believers, and that would have to do that the church has direct access to God. We are called in the scripture a vine, and believers are connected to the life of God, for Jesus said he is the vine, but we're the branch. It talks in the scripture about us being a temple, and when you think about a temple, we know it's built on the foundation of the apostles' doctrine. Jesus Christ is said to be the chief cornerstone, so we're reminded when the church is referred to as a temple that we have a cornerstone in this temple, and it's not concrete. His name is Jesus, and on that note, he is more than concrete. He is forever the cornerstone. We're referred to in the scriptures as a body, and when we think of a body, our life is no different than this body in that this body is dependent upon our head. The church, being the spiritual body, is dependent upon the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is referred to in the New Testament, the church is, as an assembly, and it's talking about and referring to the time when the entire church will be gathered together around the throne of God. Folks, we will, as a New Testament church, assemble one day in the very presence of God. We are called a flock in the scriptures and referred to because a flock of sheep needs something. They need protection and they need provision, meaning the flock needs to be led by the great shepherd, and that's what the church is, a flock, and we are led, hopefully, and protected and provided for by he who is the great shepherd of the sheep. Last of all, I would mention to you today that the church is referred to as a family. And that means that we are brothers and sisters, that we love and care for each other, that we have the same heavenly Father. And having said that, I just refer to us before I embark on the text. In a biological family, and you think about your family for just a moment, it's true in your family and it's true in the church that when something is wrong, we want to deal with it. Now, why do we want to deal with that in our biological families? I'll tell you why we want to deal with it. Because love in a family means that we care about the other members of the family enough that we want them to enjoy the blessing of God. And it also means that we want, in our love for each other, we want each other to prosper spiritually. And just as much as you do want that in your biological family, don't you? Amen? Well, we want that in the church as well. So he takes this text, this entire chapter, to talk about how we ought to manage these relationships in the church. And we begin with the first part, just two parts of today's sermon. You know the sermon's no good because you always have to have 3 points and a poem. I don't even have a poem today, okay? We just have 2 points. And point number one is in the message of this chapter, verses 1 and 2, we see our regard for each other. And though it's not written, I think with me, it's not written just to give us a social principle, this will help you where you work. This will help you at the grocery store. This will help you where you buy gasoline. This is something about how we are to interact with each other. Now, listen carefully. He gives it to a younger preacher so the younger preacher will remember this as he pastors the church. But earlier in the preceding 4 chapters, he says, Timothy, you teach this to the brethren. The whole church needs to know this. So this is not just a book written to a preacher. This is a book written to a young pastor to tell the young pastor, you need to know this and you need to teach this to your people. So here we go, verses 1 and 2. If you're at 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2, would you say amen?
Amen.
Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. And the younger men, you're to entreat, he means, as brethren. And the elder women, you're supposed to treat them like a mother. And the younger, meaning the younger women, treat them like sisters with all purity. Now, let's identify the meaning of a word when he says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him. It is the word entreat that means the way you think of them. You need to regard them like this. You need to think about how you think on someone. How you view other people determines how you treat them. That's the truth of it. So this is a guideline for the church, but this is a good guideline anywhere you go tomorrow in Valdosta, Georgia, or anywhere else. So let's look at the guideline. Number one, you're supposed to treat, and the word elder there is not referring to an office. It's talking about an older person. So number one is think of older men as you would your daddy. In other words, don't rebuke them. But the word is entreat them, graciously appeal to them. Why? Now, why should we just graciously appeal to older people? You don't have to answer it publicly. Anybody got a clue in your mind why should we do that? They've lived longer. If they've tried to follow God at all, they've got experience that I don't have as a younger person. And they've got wisdom. And some of their wisdom they have because they made mistakes. And to tell you the truth, I ought to hear about your mistakes and you ought to hear about mine because they cost us something. And if you made a mistake and it cost you something, please love me enough and don't let me make the same one you made and I'm going to have to pay the same price. Folks, why should we both pay tuition if I can get it in on the tuition you paid? So we don't want to treat older people as though they are our equal, but we want to treat them like you would your father. I don't know about how you grew up. You can't treat anyone with more respect than I treated my daddy. And it wasn't because I was just that good of a boy. I'm not that ignorant. My daddy could have taught me in a New York minute, which is not but 27 seconds. He could have taught me in a New York minute that you don't do older people that way, starting with your daddy. It had to be yes or no, sir. If there's somebody in uniform, be it military or law enforcement, yes or no, sir. Say thank you. Say please. You treat older people with respect. That's what he said here. Treat your older men like you would your daddy. Number two, think of younger men like you would your brother. Do you see that in the text? The younger, he said, the younger men as brethren. So think of younger men like you would your brother. Now, this is probably going to be hard to get across, but sometimes in our families, your brother in the family is a rival. And sometimes your brother in the family is an enemy. And it's not supposed to be that way. You all have heard your pastor say that the one thing, several things my dad had no patience with, and he didn't have any patience with my brother and I fussing and fighting. We don't do that. We're family. You don't fuss and fight at each other like that. And he knew what to do to correct that. And so you want to be open with your brother. Be honest with your brother. Sometimes you have to tell the brutal truth, but you want to be, if you would please, respectful when you do it. You know, preachers sometimes preach on hell as though they're glad people are dying and going there. That's no way to preach on hell, and that's no way to talk to your brother with disgust. You need to be treating the younger men like you would your brother. Number three, how you going to treat older women? Treat older women like you would your mama. Would you mistreat your mother? Now, I try not to just say something so you folks will think I'm trying to give shock treatment. But I'm going to tell you something. Anybody, anywhere that would mistreat their mama are lower than the rats in the sewer. Folks, that's your mama. That's the one that went down to death's door to bring you into the world. Is mama right about everything? Not on your life. But until you've made your share of mistakes, it may very well be she's still smarter than you are. But I tell you this, are you listening? If she's dumb as an ox, she's not so dumb that you need to disrespect her. So you need to respect your mama. Love and respect. That's how you treat your mama. Love and respect them. Fourthly, how you going to deal with younger women? He said, if you look at that verse, and the younger as sisters with all purity. So we're going to treat younger women as you would your sister. With all purity is a phrase that means I'm going to treat the younger women without any kind or form of sexual involvement. I got a whole lot I could say there. Guys, let me just let the scripture talk to you a moment. When Solomon spoke, y'all remember the book, Song of Solomon, it's a book about marital love. That's what that book is. And does it surprise us that the God who created marriage and who created sexual union, does it surprise you God would have written a book about that? It's called the Song of Solomon. And in the Song of Solomon, when Solomon spoke of a love between a husband and a wife, I want you to notice on your screen for something. Look up there. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. Now, what's interesting? Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, made that statement three times. Chapter 2, verse 7, chapter 3, verse 5, chapter 8, verse 4. And you know what that means? Look at that verse good on the screen now. Just look at it. You know what that means when he says that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please? Don't do anything that would arouse romantic love with anyone that God couldn't bless. And when you sit around and you have feelings for some woman that's married and you're single, you're having feelings that you are personally letting your thoughts take over. That's not the devil making you do that. That's you letting the devil do that. And you're not to awaken that in your heart. And if you're single and you got eyes for somebody that is somebody else's wife, or if you're married and you got eyes for anybody, you are trying to and permitting the awakening of something in your soul that God cannot bless and has told you if you get involved with that, it's going to be a curse on your body. I am disturbed when I listen to people talk about watching even certain news programs. Fox News is full of the blondes. It's common in the news circuitry to talk about one of the blondes on Fox News. Well, folks, it's not a curse to be a blonde. I don't know whether they have more fun or not. I've been told that all my life. Depends on what kind of fun they're having. But when you look at the television and you think to yourself, my Lord, that's a beautiful woman, and I don't even have to tell you what goes after that. You have just permitted the awakening of something inside of your soul that God said through Solomon. Forget the New Testament for a moment. I got all kind of references in the New Testament. Don't awaken that in your heart. You let that be awakened. And when Brother David sings, "Guard Your Heart," he's talking about just a glance can start to create a romance. And when you permit that with someone God can't bless, you are digging a pit. And you won't be able to get out of it till you have ruined and destroyed all trust embarrass the whole community. And it can happen to any of us. We're not talking about two or three. That's a word to the entire people. And we're not to do that. And he said, when you look at younger women, you look at that woman like you would your sister. And if you would have any thoughts of sexual involvement with your sister, I say this with kindness to you, you're the biggest pervert that's ever lived. You're incestuous in your thoughts. And you can't do that. Sex has become so open. And the more that you let that gravitate and stir in your heart, let me tell you what goes with that. The moment that begins to stir, to the degree that that is stirred, it is to that same degree that you lost a heart for the spouse. And it can happen with men as much as it can women, and women as much as it can men. And the last time I thought about it and looked into it, it takes two to do that. And when you do that, you lose for your own spouse to the same degree that you let this start stirring. And that then brings forth, well, I still love you, but I'm not in love with you. I would like to use a crude word to tell you what that is, but I'm not going to do it because I'm standing in a holy place to bring the Word of God. It's trash. It's refuse. Paul called it dung. He used that word, and I'm calling it that. It is absolutely filth and trash. And you're doing it to your own detriment. So we turn on the television. And too many men and women go to computers. And now you have given your child a trash instrument to get all the porn they want when you give them a phone that goes to the internet. And the only thing to keep that from happening, the only thing, is the restraining power of the Spirit of God. And once you've looked and once you've desired, you're not going to get in trouble. You're already in trouble. And it's going to show up in your marriage. It's going to show up in the disinterest. It would shock you to no end to know how many thousands of people are seated in Baptist churches this morning that if they could walk away from their spouse and maintain respectability, they'd be gone in the next 15 minutes. That's all that keeps them into it. We criticize Bill and Hillary Clinton because it's obvious they didn't care nothing for each other from what we could all see. Don't criticize them too bad. We got folks like that in Baptist churches all over America in this hour. Staying together because, well, we got more to gain staying together than we do separating, but we really don't like each other, much less love one another. If you will cultivate your current marriage as much as you have interest in something that God said, don't you awaken that, it might surprise you that the moon could come back to you, honey. Yeah. You become drunken on something else. You remember the old statement people used to use? He's moonstruck. You know, their feeling was, depending on the location of the moon and all, the moon had an influence on you. And they'd say, well, he's acting crazy. He's moonstruck. Folks, you can be stricken again with what God intended for you to have for your spouse if you get your mind off of everybody and everything else. I've had a number of people say to me, not a lot of people, but a number of people say to me, Pastor, when I got involved with that, I thought that was everything I wanted. And I didn't know when I got involved with that, that that was the worst decision any mortal man. I've never had the women tell me that, but I've had the men tell me that. That is the worst decision I could ever make. What I thought was going to be, now listen to these words, what I thought was going to be so good turned out to be everything I hate. Now, you know why you thought it was good? Because you opened your mind and you let the demons of hell plant a fantasy in your head that this is going to be the greatest thing it's ever been. No, it's going to be full of hell just like everybody else that's ever tried it. That's what it's going to be. But if you'll give your mind to God and the things of God, you will have more than you ever thought back at the house. And you'll not be ashamed of it, and it won't hurt you, and it won't really cost you. You'll have a good time at any age. So Do I need to say anything else there? Think of older men as you would your daddy. Think of younger men like you would your brother. Think of older women like you would your mother. Think of younger women like you would your sister. You see, folks, when you start having, I've had this statement said as a pastor to me far more times than I've got fingers and toes. Well, we didn't do nothing. We just got emotionally involved. You did plenty. I'm stopping right there. Wagon's loaded. Y'all can't get your breath right now. Let me tell you what happens with emotional involvement. Most people with emotional involvement pull their clothes off. Somebody asked Albert Mohler on his radio program, said, we're in our early 20s, neither of us are married, and we love each other, and we're not married yet, and we don't want to be sexually active. Can you give us some help? Now, this is a very serious question on a nationwide radio program. When Albert Mohler gave his answer, he said, I'll tell you several things. And the first thing he said was, I about had to pull over on the side of the road laughing. He said, number one, keep your clothes on. Folks, that's not just wise, not just practical, that's wise. I was in an ordination service when I started pastoring. I was already ordained and a pastor, and I went to an ordination service. Now, the way they sometimes do that for preachers, if we was going to ordain a young man out of the church, you can invite, if you want to, not just ordain other deacons and elders, but you invite the pastors from that association. We're going to have an ordaining council, and we're going to ordain brother so-and-so, so-and-so to the gospel ministry. And I went to one of those because they wanted the pastors to come to be a part of what's called the presbytery, the ordaining council. And so when you get through asking the theological questions, they ask everybody in the room to go around with that candidate there. Any just nuts and bolts, practical wisdom, would you share? You got anything you'll share? You want to share something? Let everyone share with him just stuff they've learned. And one old man in the room made this statement. He said, son, listen to me. When I was a boy, I had someone share this with me when I started. Number one, pray and read your Bible every day. Number two, keep your debts paid. Number three, keep your hands off of strange flesh. If you'll do those three things, you'll have a successful ministry. Folks, I hadn't found those three things as such in the Bible, but that couldn't be more true than if it was Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Pray and read your Bible every day. And while you're reading this, it's hard to say, dear God, I sure would love to have that woman I'm not married to. I sure would love to have that man I'm not married to. It's hard to do that. Pray and read your Bible every day. Once your heart gets cold, or once Wayne Robertson's heart gets cold, the worst you've ever read in the paper could be said of me. Pray and read your Bible every day. Keep your debts paid. Now, why is that important? Live within your means. If you don't, you begin to wonder, what could I connive and do to get a few more dollars, even to the point of stealing? Live within your means. And if you somehow got messed up and can't live within your means, go tell some people that love you, I've got my life in a fix and I need to do something to get out of this hole I'm in. And folks that love you will help you. And other than live in your means, keep your hands off of strange flesh. Now, if you're young and never been married, and you really can marry in the Lord, then let me just say this to you. I've had men and women in my office over 30 plus years, at times with tears in their eyes, say, Pastor, is it wrong for me to want to be married so bad? No, it ain't wrong. Unless you got the gift of celibacy, I would think unto God you want to be married. I wanted to be married. I prayed about that for years and turned down nice. I don't want that to sound like something. I just turned down nice looking women because I thought the ones that people was trying to get me to court didn't have a heart for God. And I knew God was going to use my life some way. And had you told me it was going to be Beth Brown, I'd have said, you smoking peyote. I knew Beth Brown. I never had a romantic thought toward her. And she got to chasing, and man, I got tired. And I just... Gerald Wolf says, I just made that up. And God gives the best to those that leave the choice to Him. And if you let something awaken that God can't bless, you're going to regret it the day you die. If you die at 110 years of age, you'll regret that. Let me always remind you of this. This may sound a little humorous. I didn't mean for it to. Marriage is like flies on a screen window anyway. Those that's out want in, those that's in want out. And there's something worse than being single and wishes married. Here's the other. Unto God, I wished I hadn't. That is worse. Father, help us to know how to manage relationships, period, whether in the church or out of the church. I think, Lord, you've said today what you wanted to be said. And I pray, Lord, if you'll let us come back a week from now, we will look at this business of widows. And we'll do our best to try to comprehend what you've said there. And Lord, I would suppose if the truth could be told as you know it, probably among every man and woman in this room at some point in time, there might have been a thought that should not have been. I'm grateful you can forgive thoughts. I'm grateful, Lord, you can forgive actions. I'm grateful, oh God, that when we have broken and messed up and done everything, botched up all we can botch up, you're able to cleanse, to forgive, to restore. And Lord, again, we all need to be honest about our mistakes, because in telling our own, we might be able to help some other brother or sister not make the same mistake we did. Lord, I would pray in these moments for the marriages of this congregation, regardless of whether they're weak or midway or really strong. Lord, we don't have any marriages in the church that's so strong they couldn't be made better. So, Lord, for all of us, strengthen our marriages. Help every husband to appreciate his wife more. Help every wife to appreciate her husband more. And help us, oh God, to recognize that you said we are our brother's keeper. So we have a responsibility to the older men and the older women, and to the younger men and the younger women. And may we never forget how you said that we're to treat one another. Lord, you know things we hear we know are true so easily can slip. Would you tie these truths to our hearts to the degree it'll make a difference for years to come? Lord, it's so because you said it. Now make it stick in each of us, and may we ever want our thoughts guided by you. Sanctify, Lord, these moments of commitment in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen very carefully. In this invitation,